So, number one, I am the Lord your God. You shall not have strange gods before me. Affirmed faith, hope, love in God, adoration, prayer, worship. Forbidden idolatry, superstition, divination, magic, atheism, agnosticism, materialism. The summary is, this commandment calls for exclusive devotion to God. It urges Christians to trust, love, and worship God alone, rejecting anything that tries to replace Him.
Okay, very good. So under superstitious practice would be palm reading, tea leaves. Someone does that at a cocktail party. You want something you want to be healed from. Giving into astrology, thinking that whatever star pattern you were born under somehow determines your free will. Those would all be superstitious practices. Ouija boards, these things. And they can harm our soul. Even if we're young and experience these things, we may not be morally culpable, but it could still be an opening to the demonic in our hearts. So those are good things to be healed from. Okay, and the opposite of that is adoring God, worshiping God. He died for you so you could to heaven. So we love Him, and we show it in our time of prayer with our Lord. Okay, very good. And now, Andrea, could you also give us the sort of modern relevance?
The modern relevance. Idolatry today includes worship of success, money, fame, sports, pleasure, or even technology. When someone defines their worth solely by career status or online popularity, it can become a god. And the call to action, prioritize your relationship with God above all else. Keep time for prayer and spiritual life.
Very good. And of course, we see all of the anxiety that's created by people being a slave to these lights.
Social media.
Teenage girls, it's just very devastating because they arrange everything for this photo to be perfect. They're with all their friends, it's the peak moment, the selfie, they post it, and people hate it. And they are devastated, right? So it's an awful thing. For boys, their big danger are these video games, where they really learn to objectify a human person. Particularly some are very evil. And they try to outlaw some of them, but they can't really say that. The outlawing has to be the parents saying no. One, you know, where you have to kill people, and then you have to kill policemen in some of these games, and then other immoral things there too. But the girls are less inclined to that, but the social media can really be harmful to them. Okay, very good. So thank you for that. So we put God in the center, and guess what? Everything orders all of our relationships in the family. I have to tell the parents, I say, look, you don't obey the commandments. Why do you expect your kids to obey you? Particularly when they know you're not doing it. But if you're worshiping God, put Him at the top, at least you're trying to do that, they're going to follow you. Things will fall in order. But don't expect people to follow you if you're not following God. You're just shedding up a, you're just bringing in disorder into the family. And no one's perfect. Let's just say that off the bat. But at least we try, and people see that. Okay, go ahead. Number two is Tara.
Okay, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Affirmed reverence for God's name, truth and oath, and honoring what is sacred. Forbidden blasphemy, perjury, false oath, and careless use of God's name. Summary, God's name is holy. To misuse it is to show disrespect, not just for the name, but for God Himself. Truthfulness and reverence are key virtues here.
Okay, very good. So the Lord's name in vain is it's sinful, and you see that a lot in movies or entertainment. In Hollywood, sometimes they do it on purpose and needlessly, and you can always say a little reparation, may your name be praised. You know, if you hear someone say it in your presence, can also tell people to not use that kind of language, that has, you find that insulting or whatever, you don't want to hear that. Also, I put OMG in there because you might be saying, oh my goodness, but everyone's reading it a different way. And because God is holy, he's not just like a throwaway term. So I tell the kids not to do that. You know, again, it's just a lowering of the holy, of the sacred to the mundane, and even to, gosh, what a beautiful kitchen you have. Like, we have other expressions we can say. I'm happy when they say, oh my goodness, when they say, oh, but I would just, you know, gee whiz, jeepers. I know one priest, that's the kind of thing I won't say. He does say for jeepers' sakes. Sounds ridiculous, but I mean, you can use some other expressions, right, than the Lord's name in vain. Okay, so then practical applications here.
Modern relevance. Misusing God's name is common in social media, entertainment, and casual speech. Example, swearing using God's name or making disrespectful jokes about sacred things. Call to action. Speak about God with reverence. Use your voice to uplift, not degrade what is holy.
Okay, very good. Okay, Lauren, number three. Now, these, remember, the commandments can be reduced, and summed up by our Lord, love God and love your neighbor. So the first three are about loving God, and the next seven are about loving our neighbor.
Remember to keep holy the Lord's Day. Affirmed. Participation in Mass, rest from unnecessary work, celebration of life in God. Forbidden, unnecessary labor, willful neglect of worship. Summary, Sunday is a day of worship and rest. It recalls both creation and Christ's resurrection. It's not just a break from work, but a foretaste of eternal rest.
That's the rest that we have. We have to be like this. We also need to rest. So for type A, we love work. We get a lot of motivation from work. But it's like, stop. Put the pencil down and go enjoy that day. So it's nice to have one day where it's a play day. Now, I work on Sunday, right? And some people's jobs make you work on Sunday. I'm sorry, I do. But it's necessary work, and I never miss Mass because of that, right? So, but like if you work in hotels, doctors, nurses, policemen, soldiers, so many areas where people have to work on Sunday, maybe realtors, car salesmen. I know sometimes in the South, car dealerships are closed. But a lot of times people's free time are the weekends and evenings, and that's when you have to work if you're in certain kinds of industries. So that's called necessary work. But try not to have a job where you have no opportunity to get to Mass. There are people that have these kind of, like some nurses, where they work these 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. every other weekend, both on Saturday and Sunday. Okay, now that's a great shift to have, but that's not compatible if you can't worship God, and it's a choice you're making. Can you make another choice? You know, can you get there? Is that completely necessary for it to be that way? Or I knew a family member, and they were working at Target, and they just said, well, it's against my religion to work on Sunday. They're like, okay. And she always got Sunday off. So, I mean, you can say, look, I need to get to Mass. I mean, I need to get to church. And people will respect that, try to work with you, particularly if you're a valued employee. But also try not to make Saturday your Sabbath, and then Sunday becomes, you know, because we have the weekend now. I don't know if you've ever seen Downton Abbey, but there was this scene when the Maggie Smith character was the dowager, and she was lived this life of pleasure. You know, the guy who worked, you know, as a lawyer, and he said, well, of course, I'll have the weekend. And she said, what's a weekend? Because we used to have the weekend. That was more of a modern convention. Like Saturdays, a lot of times people had school Saturdays in the morning, anyway. And then, but now the weekend is like Friday after work until Sunday evening. It just becomes this long of a thing rather than Sunday having its own tone being distinct from Saturday. So Saturday becomes running errands, and then Sunday can just become another Saturday.
So try to make that as the same thing in your home. You know, Italians have the great the Italian meal, grandma's house at 2 o'clock or whatever, and every Sunday we're going to do that. Or we used to have brunch after Mass and make brunch at home. And it was, even when I went up to college, I still wanted to go to Mass and have brunch. It's just great programming in my head that's what you do. There's no other option, you know, that gets into you. It's a wonderful thing. And it's not, and I did have some evangelicals who wouldn't even do homework on Sunday to a call, which is tough, you know, college. But then there was this idea, well, you could do it after 5, after sundown. And then there's necessary labor. No one has clean underwear. You got to do it. That's not unnecessary labor, right? But do you have, and also if you enjoy gardening, I really like it. That's not burdensome to you. You don't choose to do, you hate whatever it might be, don't choose to do that if you can help it. But sometimes it might be necessary for your work, right? You're a secret agent, you gotta go be at this event. Okay, let's move on. I think we've got that. Keep holy the Sabbath day of rest, and try to look at how you keep Sunday, and also worship. Okay, number 4, now we're getting into loving our neighbor. Right after God comes
All right. Honor your father and mother. Affirmed. Respect, obedience, and care for parents and lawful authorities. Forbidden. Disrespect, neglect of family duties, and rebellion without just cause. Summary. This commandment begins the second table, human relationships. It emphasizes the family as the foundation of society and a school of love and virtue.
Very good. And that things go well when people are able to follow the commandments in the home. Crazy things happen when we go off the radar there. And then we should, again, we always have to be, you know, teenagers especially, you know, I remember my teenage years. I remember I had parents when they said, God, my 12-year-old lied to me. Just were devastated. I said, did you ever lie to your parents? You know, like, what world were you in that you thought that was inconceivable? But of course, you know, a shock, I guess, the first time there was that happened. But, so we have to work with people, we have to be able to forgive and to say we're sorry. Okay, modern applications there.
Modern relevance applies to respecting not just parents, but teachers, mentors, civic leaders, when morally just, and elders. Example, elder neglect or online disrespect toward authority figures. Call to action. Show patience and gratitude to family. Stand up for the dignity of the elderly. Participate in civic life responsibly.
So those in authority, you know, we don't have to follow our parents if they're leading us into something that's immoral. They want us to do something immoral, we don't have to do that. Or if a police officer is trying to tell you to do something that's immoral, we don't have to do that. Something in authority. But normally, we should have respect for people in authority over us, you know, be law-abiding citizens. As long as it's an immoral, a just law. Okay, very good. Okay, Kelly, you shall not kill.
You shall not kill. Affirmed. Sanctity of life, peace, self-defense, care for others' lives. Forbidden. Murder, abortion, euthanasia, suicide, scandal, hatred. Summary. All human life is sacred from conception to natural death. This commandment calls us to protect and value life, including through justice and peacemaking.
Okay, very good. So, of course, abortion is killing of a life, so that's always innocent, and also suicide. Like, your life doesn't belong to you. Right? You were purchased at a great price, which is the blood of Jesus. So you didn't ask to be born. Like, did you ever say that your parents were like, I do all this for you? I didn't ask to be born. Well, no, you didn't. And so your parents donate what would be your body, and God creates the soul at that same moment. And so God creates you, and He decides when it's time for you to go back to Him. So we're not allowed to take our own life. That would also be a kind of killing. And, okay, very good. Now, this is where in vitro fertilization will come in, because, you know, you're taking an act of creating a child. It seems like it'd be pro-life, but you're taking it out of the, this is where the act matters. You're taking it out of the normal self-gift of a husband for a wife or wife for a husband, and removing it into the sterility of a laboratory. So you're no longer assisting an act, you are replacing that act. And then you have the problem of 1 million frozen embryos. And since we believe life begins at conception, what do you do with that? What do we do with this? Just let them deteriorate. And then you also have all kinds of other things of selecting surrogate motherhood, using rent-a-womb technology, using a woman's womb like a warehouse. It gets very disordered. You have designer babies, or you have fetal reduction, because we implanted, because the technology isn't so great, so we're going to put 5 in you, but you really only want twins. So they all take. So now what are you going to do? Well, we fetal reduce the other 3. So now you've killed life. So this is the problem with that technology. It's not, it leads to death and a lot of deformity. And also, you don't have a right to have a child. It is prideful. So that's where we can submit ourselves to the church's teaching and apply it to modern technologies. Just because we can do something doesn't mean that it's wrong or that we should. Right? We can, you know, science will give us the nuclear bomb, but it doesn't tell us if we should use it. Right? So we have to be guided by the guidance of the church as well. You know, science is good, but it's not an end in itself. It's not enough. Just so we can scientifically do something, is it moral to do that? You can change your, you can't really change your gender because it's XY chromosomes, but you can mutilate yourself. Now that's also something that comes under do not kill mutilation, which is taking healthy organs and removing them needlessly, like sterilization of yourself or of another person. There's no reason that's different from you got a cancerous uterus that has to be removed. That's not sterilizing because you're done having kids, like a vasectomy or tubal ligation. So those would be mutilating healthy organs. That's an evil. Okay, lot. All right, let's go on to 6.
You shall not commit adultery. Affirm chastity, fidelity in marriage, respect for sexuality. Forbidden adultery, fornication, pornography, masturbation, contraception, homosexual acts. Summary: human sexuality is a gift meant for love and life within marriage. This commandment protects the dignity of persons and the sanctity of marriage.
That's right. Okay. So, homosexual acts. So, there are a lot of people, a certain percentage of the population has same-sex attraction. What had this person? He said, "Well, Father, you know, I'm gay." I said, "No, you're not." Looked at me. And I said, "Well, what you are is a child of God, and you have same-sex attraction. That's not your identity. That's a temptation, and we can talk about that. But that's, don't let society tell you that's who you are." So some people have it and don't know why. Could be different reasons. But what we, you know, people can't control that, but they can control what they watch, what they choose to think about, and our actions we can control, right? So, and the reasons that here is the marital act is really what it does. In Pope John Paul II's Theology of the Body, it is a self-gift of the other. You're renewing your vows. It doesn't sound very romantic, but at the altar, you say, we're a body and a soul. So we say, I give myself to you for life. And the other person says that too before God. And you receive, from making that vow to God, you receive the grace to do what you're vowing. And then you have to consummate the marriage for it to be valid. Even the church teaches us that. So the consummation is, you say with the body what you said at the altar. I give myself to you irrevocably and completely. I'm willing to embrace you and your fertility. And so to purposely thwart that through like an act of contraception, and that doesn't mean you have to intend a child every time you have the marital act, right? But that you don't purposely distort its meaning, like bulimia, right? So what's the point of eating? To give nutrition to your body. Well, what if you just like to eat for the pleasure and then vomit it back up, right? So that would be like someone having sex but not allowing it to go to its fruition by an intervening act. That's different from refraining from an act, right? So natural family planning, you can chart your when you're fertile, like the day of ovulation. And there are all kinds of tools now, little computer things that you can use, but it's very effective. So that can help you actually to conceive a child knowing your fertility. And it's good to be talking about your fertility with your spouse. But so that's for the moral of an act. Like, Father, what's the difference? I mean, your end is the same, to limit your family size. There's, well, yeah, but is it different that you want to lose weight, and so when you use bulimia and when you use dieting, you refrain from eating? Isn't that different from eating and binging and purging? Yes. Or you can get an A on the test. Okay, you both want an A. One's going to cheat and one's going to study harder. So the morality of the action, it does matter how we achieve our goal, right? So that's the important thing there too. Plus the birth control pill, remember, the modern birth control pill, it used to be it suppressed ovulation completely, but there were huge side effects with that. So now they have a low dose pill, but that allows ovulation sometimes. But its backup mechanism is not allowed a fertilized egg to implant, and so that's an abortifacient. Same with an IUD, it stimulates the uterus so that a fertilized egg cannot implant in the uterine wall, and so it doesn't stop conception. And same with Plan B, that's like after the fact. So all of those things, just, you know, not good, but of course, better. Sex for marriage, which is where a child can be received with love and grace with the two parents and things go well. But if we have a child, an out of wedlock pregnancy is not a reason for an abortion or to kill that child that did not ask to be conceived in that way. It's not their fault. And there are plenty of people that would love to adopt a child, but there aren't enough children to go around because of abortion and all of these things. So anyway, once we start getting in, this is all predicted in Humanae Vitae for 1968. The brave new world we live in now was predicted back then. Once you start separating the unitive from the procreative dimension of human sexuality, you get all of this stuff. You get homosexuality, you get all kinds of things. It has nothing to do with that. If we can just manipulate this for our own sake, you get... So none of this is popular in a lot of culture, particularly people with no faith. But even people with faith, we have to grow in our understanding sometimes of these things because we're so indoctrinated by the philosophy of the time in which we live. But it's actually very liberating. Couples who use natural family planning, only a 4% divorce rate. Something there. You follow God's plan, and guess what? It leads to happier marriages, intact families, which help the children to thrive. So it pays for us to listen. Okay, very good. And I've probably already given the modern application, but...
Modern relevance includes pornography, casual sex, infidelity, cohabitation without commitment, and misuse of dating apps. Example, using others for pleasure without love or commitment, addiction to porn or sexting. Call to action, live sexual integrity. Practice chastity according to your state in life. Honor the dignity of others in all relationships.
Okay, very good. And Gibbs?
You should not steal. I mean, you shall not steal. Affirm justice, charity, respect for all the properties, fair economic practices, forbidden, theft, fraud, corruption, usury, unjust wages, environmental exploitation. Summary. This commandment insists on social justice and the responsible of use of earth resources. The property is a right, but not an absolute. It's meant to serve the common good. Good.
Okay, very good. So, paying your workers a just wage, not exploiting them. And kind of stealing could be like not giving your employer just the work for your wage. Like you say you're working remotely and you're really watching your children. So, I mean, those are kinds of things where we want to be honest and not taking what doesn't belong to us, like taking money for a job we didn't do. And if you notice, you know, that the person at the cash register didn't charge you the right amount, you can always, you should ask them. Because it'll bother your conscience, anybody. It might just be a little bit. It's always good. And then also, it reminds them of honesty. This is helpful. But always check your bill, too. I don't think they intend to do that sometimes, but it's always just a pro tip there. If you dine out, look at what they put on there. But not saying they're trying to do it, but there can be human error, right, too. Okay, but the application or the relevance?
A more modern relevance includes parity, median, exploiting labor, corruption, environmental damage, and wasting resources. Example, downloading music software illegally, cheating on taxes, using unpaid labor, call to action, respect what belongs to others, support ethical companies, and be a good steward of the earth.
Okay, very good. Okay, number eight. Here.
You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Affirmed. Truthfulness, respect for others' reputation, discretion, forbidden, lying, gossip, slander, perjury, rash judgment. Summary, truth builds trust and community. This commandment calls for integrity in speech, communication, and bearing witness, especially in serious matters like court or personal reputation.
Okay, very good. And rash judgment is something where you jump to a conclusion about some judge's behavior. Well, they did it for this reason. You find out later, no, they were actually doing something good. You know? So you give the wrong motives to a good act. Okay, and the modern relevance?
Okay, modern relevance includes fake news, lying on social media, gossip, character assassination, and cancel culture. Example, spreading rumors or half-truth online, destroying reputations without charity or fact-checking. Call to action. Be a witness to the truth. Speak kindly. Verify before sharing. Defend others against injustice and slander.
Very good. Okay, and do number nine.
Thank you. You're getting a workout. Number nine, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, so... Now, of course, it would be neighbor's husband for a woman, you know, but affirmed is purity of heart, modesty, which is the handmaid of purity, so respect for others' relationships, so not wanting to be a temptation to other people, respecting boundaries. Forbidden is lusting after people, where we want to use them as an object for our pleasure, even in our mind or imagination, impure desires, and reducing others to objects. Summary, the commandment addresses the heart's desire, not just the actions, but what's going on within us. It asks for an interior purity and fidelity in thought as well as deed. And modern relevance, lust and emotional infidelity are widespread, especially via pornography, sexting, dating apps, and romantic fantasies. Example, online flirtations while in a relationship, viewing others as objects. And call to action, guard your heart, seek authentic love, practice modesty in media and social interactions. Okay, very good. And we're back to Andrea.
Number 10. You shall not covet your neighbor's goods. Affirm trusting God's providence, simplicity of life, gratitude, forbidden envy, greed, materialism, unjust desires for others' possessions. The summary, detachment from material goods is key. This commandment urges contentment and guards against consumerism and jealousy. Material relevance. Materialism and envy are amplified by social media, influencer culture, and consumer advertising. Example, constant comparison on Instagram, chasing trends for status, or living beyond your means out of envy. The call to action, practice gratitude, embrace simplicity, rejoice in others' blessings without jealousy.
We're good. And Terry, do you want to do the summary there?
Together, the commandments form a blueprint for moral living, first in our relationship with God, commandments 1 through 3, then with others, commandments 4 through 10. They are not merely rules, but a path toward authentic freedom and happiness and communion with God and neighbor.
Okay, very good. And then this is the summary that's on the last, a handy little chart there.
Yeah. Commandment 1, God first, modern challenge, idolatry of self or success, Catholic response, worship and trust in God. Number 2, reverence, profanity and blasphemy, or the modern challenge, Catholic response, speak God's name with respect. Number 3, Sabbath, modern challenge is busy culture, Catholic response, prioritize rest and worship. Number 4, honor family, modern challenge is disrespect, elder neglect, and Catholic response is love, support, and obey. Number 5, value life, modern challenge, violence, indifference, Catholic response, defend life and dignity. Number 6, purity, modern challenge, lust and porn, Catholic response is chastity and fidelity. Commandment number 7, respect property, modern challenge, theft, piracy, greed, Catholic response, justice and stewardship. Number 8, truth, modern challenge is lies and gossip, Catholic response is honesty and charity. Number 9 is purity of heart, modern challenge is objectifying others, Catholic response is inner virtue and love. Number 10 is gratitude. Modern challenge is envy and consumerism. Catholic response is contentment and trust.
Okay, very good. Well, thank you all.
Thank you.
Good job. And so, a couple more things here to touch on.
John. So the Beatitudes are a portrait of the Christian life, and they show us what the moral life looks like in action: poverty of spirit, mercy, purity of heart, peacemaking, and they reverse the worldly values by saying, blessed are the poor, the meek, and the persecuted. This other chart that you have gives you a comparison of the Ten Commandments and the Beatitudes, and I'll let you just reflect on that at home, okay? And But we're also called to be holy, not just free of sin, but to grow in virtue. As we read in Scripture, Matthew chapter 5, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. So moral life is not just about avoiding hell, we want you to do that, but about becoming saints, right? And that will make you happy. The word for blessed are you is also happy are you. It's another way you could translate that original word that Jesus spoke. So if we can live the virtues of the Beatitudes, we can increase the joy within our life, right? Now, God's grace makes all of that possible. We need God to do it. We can't just be good on our own. So we need the sacraments. That's why God gave them to us. He knew we would need them. We also need the teaching of the church to guide us, to guide our freedom. Again, it doesn't take it away. Like a GPS guides you on which roads to take, but it doesn't force you to take them. Right? But if you want to get where you're going the quickest way, better to follow it. Right? Sometimes I'm like, why did it tell me to go that way? I'm going the way I know. And of course, it's a traffic accident. I'm stuck in traffic. So I should have followed it the real time. The church teaches on life and dignity of the human person. rights and responsibilities. A person, it's social teaching, right? So morality lived out in society is what we mean by Catholic social teaching. The right for people to form, of laborers to form a union, or to, the importance of paying people a just wage, of having fairness in the workplace, caring for the poor, promoting the common good of the society. So we all have a role to do. That's why we should vote rather than not, because we help build up the society as we're informed too. So we're called to live justly and serve the common good. And then the sacraments that help us to live the moral virtues are the Eucharist, which strengthens us by Christ's real presence, confession, restores us when we fail, and confirmation equips us with the Holy Spirit for moral witness and strength. So you receive, when you're confirmed, you receive an extra grace. It's a once-in-a-lifetime sacrament that seals your baptismal grace. So it's an extra binding of you to God and to His church that strengthens you to choose what is good. So that's great. But, you know, we still need confession and the Eucharist. And so today, just some things to consider are how we use media and the internet, right? Because, you know, grave sin can be just a couple clicks away, watching Curiosity, being careful of that, of doom scrolling, you know, or just like those short little videos can be very addictive. And people are like, gosh, I don't know what happened to 2 hours, but I watched babies greet their dad and a makeover and someone make a meal that 30 seconds. I don't know what these things are. Or an amazing soccer goal. Okay. Just being, you know, less time on screens in general is helpful for our social relationships and probably our soul, especially when we say we don't have time to pray and then we realize we waste a lot of time. And also trying to be known as people of integrity at work or at school, that we do our work well and quietly, and we try to be a good comrade to our employees or a good companion there and a good example, and to be charitable in a world that sometimes is not, it thinks about itself. So looking for ways to, I mean, charity begins at home, but sometimes we have to go beyond our family to do good works. The largest provider of charity in the world is the Catholic Church. There are many opportunities in the church to serve that maybe you wouldn't do on your own, you know. In terms of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit you receive when you're confirmed. So consider, how can I cooperate more with the Spirit in my life and making decisions? And moral life isn't just about willpower alone, but grace-assisted living. And giving us, of course, the gifts of wisdom, courage, and piety. So these are things to consider. Not an exhaustive presentation by any means on morality, and I encourage you to keep your ongoing formation and study, because the more we know about our faith, the more interesting it is to us, and we can just keep growing and learning in it. And there are many things now, like the Hallow app, or there's Formed. We have a subscription to that for parishioners, so you can call the office to get a code. But I think it has 600 or 6,000 videos or audio podcasts, all kinds of things that we can, just even through 10 minutes a day, really grow in our knowledge of the faith. Even if you read 10 minutes a day, that's an hour a week, and you'll be amazed at how many books you can read by the end of the year. So it's just about choices. How we choose to use our time. Our time is a gift that's been lent to us. And if we want to give our life to God, our life is made up of time. So it has to be very concrete, right? That we make time for God. One doesn't just pray when one has time. Because you always think of something else to do, one makes time for God. And same thing with giving to charity. There's always something else you can do with your money. Put it towards your retirement or these other kinds of things. So if we're going to look at that, sort of our responsibility in building up the church and charities and just giving to charity, you look at a portion of your income, whether it's 2.5% or 5% or 10%, and look at that. If you do 1 hour a week, let's say you work 40 hours a week, okay, and you give 1 hour to God in Mass on Sunday and give 1 hour of your work. So when you go Monday morning, you go to work, that first hour, that amount goes to charity. Right, so That's 1 out of 40. And that would be 2.5% of your income. So that would be a good way. Now, some of that can be for the support of your parish, but also you might have other charities you'd like to support. You can create your own little foundation. But we can't just wait and give what's extra, right? So we have to build that into budget, like paying our light bill. God, we never get there then. Otherwise, very random-y. And of course, I have found personally that God will never be outdone in charity. So it always comes back to you. You give it away, it comes back. Like, stop it. No, I don't say stop it. It's great. But God will not be outdone in generosity. Okay, that ends our talk for tonight. I'm mindful of your time. Thank you for taking the time out tonight. I know you lead busy lives. You live in this area. So I know you're not just floating around on a raft at Leisure World. But appreciate you praying for you. Next week, the topic is next week's sacraments or... Oh, prayer, oh, which is the fourth part that I didn't mention before. So the four parts are the Creed, the Ten Commandments, the seven sacraments, and then prayer, which is based on the Our Father, which has seven petitions. And the canon is very good on that. That's an easy section. You could read the whole. You could either read the in brief section with these before class, or you could read the whole section. It's very good on like distractions in prayer, why don't I pray, how to pray, Lectio Divina. And then it goes through the Ten Commandments. So what are the seven petitions? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May your name be holy. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. Lead us and deliver us. And it'll go through each one of those points. So it's great. You know, it's the perfect prayer. So that's the basis for there. Well, why don't we end with the Our Father just as a tee up for next week. And who's presenting next week? Yeah. One of the priests? Okay, one of the priests. We're all just kind of a group. Okay, someone good. Father Serby. Oh, it'll be a lot of drama. Maybe. He's very enthusiastic. Yeah. Okay. In name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Holy Mary, our hope, seat of wisdom, pray for us. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Go in peace. Have a great week, and we'll see you soon. We'll see you on Sunday and next Thursday already. Thank you. And thanks for reading today.